There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
All right, Graham, what do we have in our Dirt Alert today?
Yeah, let's get to some Peabody Awards that have been set out today, and just some big names that need to be recognized, that have been recognized in the past, but let's get to some of those names for the Peabody Awards. So they were announced today with winners in 35 different categories honoring the most compelling and empowering stories released in broadcasting, streaming, and interactive media during the 2022 season. So notable winners right now include FX's Atlanta.
Okay.
AMC's Better Call Saul, which was absolutely phenomenal. And these will actually be their second Peabody Awards. Both of those series had won for their first seasons when they had first originally came out. So Atlanta and Better Call Saul are racking up a second one. Now, the Peabodies are going to be hosted by who, you know, we love Jessica Williams from Shrinking. You remember her?
Yes, yes.
She's, and they're going to be, I believe, in Beverly Wilshire Hotel in Los Angeles on June 11th. And this is the first time.
I doubt this is going to happen.
I do too. Mm-hmm.
You don't think
it's going to take ratings?
It's going to take writers.
Gosh.
The Beverly
and
Wilshire.
All these Peabody Award winning nominated shows all have one thing in common.
Right.
Tight, great, unbelievable writing and scripts.
You're right. That makes sense. Bummer.
So that's good, though, that they're getting awarded. But yeah, I don't think that show will actually be happening. And supposedly there's been some productive conversations happening.
Good.
But we still, everyone is side-eyeing
Taylor
Sheridan.
Get the ball going, buddy.
Get Paramount Plus.
Where is he?
And he's at his ranch. In Texas, in Fort Worth, Texas.
That's right. Speaking of Paramount Plus, today it was learned that Chris McCarthy, who's part of the Paramount Global, Paramount Global will be laying off 25% of its domestic team. This is part of the merger that they did with Showtime, and a lot of other their small subset studios are going to be shut down as well. One including a famous one for a long time, MTV News, no more.
Wow.
25% of their staff. That means Paramount Global had 24,500 employees company-wide at the end of 2020. So 25% of 24,000 is going to go down.
Well, MTV News, when's the last time?
No, but MTV News was the flash we saw at the beginning of Tulsa King.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a production. It was a producing arm. Somehow,
Somehow
this is a way of screwing people out of money by not having this. And this could be part of why they're striking, and this is why everybody is looking at Taylor Sheridan, because he could bring Paramount to its knees, which then they could talk some sense into their fellow other
studios. And with as much money as they're paying him, 25% layoffs.
18 or 19, the Helen Mirren and
I know.
200 million, more than Game of Thrones.
That's a Marvel movie.
I mean, it's unbelievable how much money. He has the power.
Yeah, he does.
Taylor Sheridan.
That was the budget for the first six episodes that we watched or whatever.
Eight. Of 19.
I love that so much.
Yeah, but they really did shoot in Africa. 200 million. I mean, he got 500 million last year from Paramount Plus.
Wow. Yeah, that's right. Get the ball. Like you said, get it.
The whole Writers Guild deal is only worth $450 million. I mean, these studios have the money.
Wow.
They have the money, and they're nickel and diming the writers, which you have.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even start. You don't even have a show without a writer.
That's true. That is true.
All right. What else we have?
Well, the Guild of Directors and Screen Actors, their contracts are up June 1st. So, I mean, if I were the American Movie and TV Producers, AAMTAM, I would be seriously getting my best people to look at the long road.
Right.
Got it.
The long game.
The long game.
All right.
This.
I'm going to give you three options.
Okay.
Nick Cannon comparing his wife to Donald Trump and Putin, former ex-wife, Nicolas Cage, and a new sequel coming out, or Marilyn Manson's defamation case being shut down. Where do you want to go?
Nick Cannon.
Nick Cannon? Mm-hmm. This one is really funny. Not funny, but terribly said. Nick Cannon has compared basically his marriage to Mariah Carey as if it were like Trump and Putin living in the same...
Well, those two guys feel like got along.
I think that's
a bad example if he's trying to say... I mean, you know, they're odd bedfellows. Maybe that's what he's saying.
That's right, because they always... He always expressed that they have a mutual respect for each other.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't as nauseating as he was with Kim Jong-un, and he writes me beautiful letters, which that did not age well.
No, it did not.
Nick Cannon said that?
No,
Trump did about
the North Korea guy. Oh, he wrote me beautiful letters. I'm like, you did not just say that. But
he's been making a lot
of... So Nick Cannon is saying that he and Mariah were odd bedfellows.
Yes.
They didn't go together.
Yeah.
Their dictatorship styles were different. Or their authoritative styles are different.
That's
the kind of a rude thing to say. I would be offended.
Very much so.
I mean, basically, she was the boss hog.
Listen, you and I said it out loud. We said this is never going to last.
Never when they first met. He was way too young.
She was 36 to his 24 or whatever it was.
Yeah. Well, he was in love with as a child.
But Nick. Well, you know what? He is giving interviews and he is making some money and he's just, you know,
doing the rounds.
Guess getting asked a lot of questions ever since Jamie Foxx winked at him in Insta last week and thanked him about that's my jam.
That's
no,
right.
No, it's Shazam.
Shazam, jam,
that's
whatever.
Hey gang, it's Lori and Julia here for Hammernix Flooring Solutions with stores on the west side of town and on the east side of town. And really, when you have seen the magic of what happens when people redo their flooring in their homes, it's night and day.
What a facelift for
your
house.
It's a perfect one. Mm-hmm. And with, you know, you don't have to worry about water spilling on the floors with the new technology of the wide plank luxury vinyl. They look good.
Super easy to clean, so they always look fresh.
They really do. I'm starting to feel the need. But in the steps, I mean, if you want to have a nice off-white carpet on your steps, you can now. But I also think, you know, you're getting a great selection, the largest selection in the Upper Midwest. 12% upfront discount on all in-stock flooring. Mention Lori and Julia. That kind of helps sometimes for other things.
That's right, Julia.
And we absolutely love working with a local family. We love them. And you will too. Hammernix.
If DNA clears your name and someone wants your DNA and you're reluctant to give it, what is the study of duh behind that?
You don't want the person to know they're yours.
Yeah.
Right. And the famous one I always think of is Steve, that millionaire who died in California. Oh. The baby mama of Steve, what was his name? She got Q-tips.
Bing.
Steve Bing from Dell Computers, I believe. Was the baby mama of...
Baby father of, was it Pat?
Pat Malachki? No, it was someone else.
I don't know, but it was somebody.
It was somebody and...
He fought the...
Fought giving the DNA.
He didn't want to give it.
He didn't.
And I remember you and I saying, well, if you're so sure it's not you, then you...
You'd give it. And but so they got it from his garbage and then he died... By suicide, I think.
He threw himself off a building. It was just terribly sad.
All right. Well, I'm sure we didn't want to go down that path.
Well, no, but I'm just, that to me, in the court of public opinion, in the study of duh, when somebody could clear their name, you think, well, the only reason you wouldn't is because you were entertaining the thought that, yes, indeed, I don't want to know.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to explain to my partner whom I've been with.
Yeah. So if someone that you know is not giving their DNA to someone that you don't know,
you're going to be suspicious.
Probably a reason.
And your friends are probably going to agree. But, I don't know. But here is a real... Maybe Julia may already know this, but what was your secret to get your kids to eat vegetables? As a parent, do you remember having a way that you got the veg in your children?
Well, carrots, like cooked carrots, if you had it in a lot of brown sugar and butter.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't spend a lot of time on this one.
Yeah.
I really didn't.
Yeah, but what would be your instinct?
Well, now? The airplane into the mouth?
No. I mean, when they were babies, they would eat it because it was coming at them. And now kids feed themselves, I understand.
What? Yes.
So are we talking about newborns?
We're like talking toddlers? About children 6 and younger.
Oh, okay. If I really wanted it, I would chop it up really fine, probably, and put it in pasta. Chop it up really fine and put it in something else.
Oh, yeah.
Lori, yeah. No. My nutritional standards at that point in my life, I was too busy.
Okay, yeah.
I really got to be honest.
Yeah.
That was too much.
All right. Well, I thought everyone knew that the way you get at least...
Because
at a certain
potatoes.
Point, I'm trying to think of like when kids really become parrots. Maybe 2... When they just imitate everything you do, like they'll do what you do. They just
say the bad word. You just said when you drop the orange juice.
So if you eat the vegetable or the whatever, if you eat it, you have a good. Most parents say that's my best shot at getting them to try it.
Huh. I can't remember.
Yeah. Okay.
I really can't.
I know what my parents did.
What'd they do?
If basically they just left me in the kitchen in the dark and said, finish your damn food.
Well, you have to eat your food if you want to leave the table.
Exactly.
That was our thing.
That was my thing.
I never did that to my kids.
Yeah, you just had to wait. You couldn't leave until you were done.
But 6 and younger? Do you remember being younger than 6 and being forced to sit at the table?
Probably 6, 7 years old.
Really?
Yeah, sitting there. My parents, we didn't have a big house, so they were just in the living room, and I would sit there and drink the milk, plug my nose, and put it down because I couldn't
80% of parents think that their kids will imitate what they do at the table, and so they... start doing the little mimicking things right away about more and please. And like, it's kind of amazing what the modern mommy and daddy like do. They're leading by example.
Mm-hmm. Good for them.
Yeah, good for them. That was so insincere.
I mean, but I really can't remember, and I don't remember it really being an issue either.
Yeah.
I just blur.
Probably it's, yeah, you blur. Can't remember and all the things that you have to do. Oh, boy.
I mean, really.
Anyway, but that's mm-hmm. Apparently this is your best chance, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Is if you want your kids to eat their veg, eating your own first might be your first secret thing that you do that's out loud.
Right.
Just show them how you eat it. Yum.
Yeah, I'm. Yeah.
Smack your lips.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I love, though, feeding them baby food. They were so cute with that.
Yeah.
That was fun. And then they'd spit it back out and you'd take the spoon and scrape around and put it back in.
That's exactly what I hated about babysitting. If I ever had
so
to feed a baby.
So cute when it's your own kid, though.
Oh,
and
maybe.
Their whole face would be covered with it.
Yeah, I know.
Kids feed themselves now, though.
Oh, that's
but not,
weird.
Not at the 6 months.
No,
they
not...
feed more like when they can start, like, I think when they
chewing.
Start toddling.
Yes, and toddling and chewing.
Then you chop up, everything is cut
up. People just put it on their high
chair. They take off their shirt, they put a rubber bib on them, mm-hmm. and then they let them go to town with their mm-hmm. hands and some utensils. I've watched it. I've longed for a dog.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Afterwards.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Lord.
Oh, dogs? We always had
no,
a dog.
Dogs are...
We had a dog. They
if
were vacuum
you have
cleaner.
Children, you should have a dog just for cleanup.
Oh, for the vacuum cleaner. Oh,
on
yeah.
aisle one or kitchen or
Love
whatever.
It.
Yeah, they mm-hmm. really are helpful. That's a study of dogs. Here's another parental one. Obviously, I was reading, you know, advanced
Parents
journals of pediatrics. anyway... Average parents are open to driving up to 1,400 miles instead of traveling by plane. That is the tipping point. If it's 1,400 miles.
So how far would that round, be here to where?
I'll look
Denver. I don't know. That seems like.
That's longer than a one-way trip from New York to L.A., but
that's
certainly within the realm of going. If you lived in the Midwest, going
it is stressful
North
flying
or South
with
Dakota.
Children,
yes,
yeah. below a certain age. I yes,
you
yes.
think that
but
the 1,400 mile going to Mackinac, you know, maybe doing
we drove
something.
To Bozeman a lot.
Yes,
I flew to Bozeman and had a terrible flight once. And
that's
thought,
a 30-hour drive.
Yeah. Yeah, because
16. Oh, to where
Bozeman?
Oh, 1,400 hours.
No, yeah, for 1,400 miles, essentially, they broke it down to 1,500 miles. It's 30 hours
oh,
in driving.
Never. I'd fly.
I would
That's
fly,
That's way too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
no,
I can make it.
This is 1,400 miles a round trip.
Oh.
You know, you're going 700 miles, seven back, you know, round trip. Like,
okay.
That is the...
You can control more in your car.
Bingo.
That's you can control everything bingo. In your car. You can control it. You can feed them. It doesn't care if they make a mess. You can put in a video. You can sleep.
You're going to stay at a fun motel, and that's going to be an adventure.
Always.
Yeah.
And instead of herding the cats
road
through
trips.
The, you know, the airport sometimes. So that's the magic marker for, and that's why the average family will take like 5 road trips, because it's just more palatable as a parent.
It is. Mm-hmm. Unless you have free places to stay in Florida. Right. Which we had. So we went there a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Get that. Yeah. Exactly. This, I thought, was so interesting.
What?
It's not really a study of duh, but, you know, the whole thing about traditional banks and cash and all of this, 83% of people, and we are talking Gen Z through and up past age, baby boomers, 83% of people still prefer going to a traditional bank if they have something big going on.
Yep.
A digital transaction.
Of course.
100%.
I didn't know if you guys thought this would be a surprise.
Oh, no. I don't like to bank online.
Okay.
I mean, I pay my bills and stuff, but I wouldn't. I don't like the app. I don't want to do it. I know a lot of people do.
Yeah. No. Julia, they're calling it. We're seeing a strange dichotomy in banking unfolding in front of us. We know that physical banks have closed, yet the data here supports that consumers, especially in younger generations, want the human first benefit traditional banks provide. So it's the exact opposite what you would think.
Let's just hope the staffing increases.
Exactly.
That would help this whole process.
Right.
That's funny though I mean, Grant?
You wouldn't think that, but
in that group.
Yeah, and I feel like it's honestly because there's a person, and they are trained to do whatever it may be, if it's a loan or if it's a large amount of money.
Yeah.
For me, there's checks and balances at a bank that I want to have in front of me.
Right. Yeah. Only 10% of people say they can handle digital banking with no physical presence. So very few people actually want that.
And especially with the cryptocurrency and some other things that have happened, I think there's a little heightened awareness in wanting physical touch, you know, touching the money, touching the check, or sending it over.
Cash,
you know?
Good old cash.
I love cash.
Me too.
Cash is king, but not really. A lot of people don't care anymore. They don't even accept it at places.
Julia, I was just in Vegas and cash is king there.
That's true. If there's one city, it still is. But yeah, ballparks, any stadiums now, credit cards only.
Credit cards.
But that was that's kind of a side effect of what we had with the pandemic. They kind of
You're right. It's just a lazy thing that turned out to be okay. People want to stick with it.
Yep.
It's like bowling teams will never be more than 5 people again. They've permanently moved to 4-person teams.
Do you like that?
And for years it was 5.
Yeah.
It's easier to maintain a team. I'll tell you that if you don't have to have 5 people every week.
Right. Uh huh. Showing up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's here to stay. You know. Some things are never going back.
That's true.
It is true. All right, listen, that's all we got, you guys.
Lori and Julia here for First Equity Mortgage. It seems like we hear news a lot. And, you know, why would you be responsible to follow the bouncing ball with mortgages? That's where the great team at First Equity comes into play. Do you have a testimonial?
I have a testimonial from Annette. And she said, Torben was quick to respond, wrote everything out in easy to understand language, and was a helping hand the whole way through. I will definitely be recommending him to friends and family. This was a first time homeowner.
Oh, I love that. Because that's always a nervous situation.
No idea. I needed everything explained to me.
Here's from Anthony. Everything worked out well. Thank you so much. I loved it. Torben, outstanding. You know, we have Torben was great to work with. We'll be recommending them to others. You know, the experience with First Equity is well worth it. 763-251-8000 or my talk keyword, David.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. My question for today's post is, okay, so Jennifer Garner is on the May issue of Allure magazine, and she's dressed like Sydney in Alias. She's got a wig on. She kind of looks like Rachel McAdams on the cover with this blonde wig, and she's wearing mint Miu Miu. She looks so different, and it really just highlights what a gorgeous face she has.
She's beautiful.
The cheekbones, the dimples, the full lips.
Sexy.
Sexy as all get out. So that is posted, but I don't know what she's promoting.
Well, I don't see. She has four things upcoming. Okay. The last thing he told me.
Which, did you guys finish?
I still am. I actually went back. I stopped for a minute and then Lily and I went back.
I'm going to finish it.
Okay.
It's good.
Yeah.
Everyone keeps me on a cliffhanger. That's
why
I like it.
You know what? I'll probably watch it because I think in a couple months I'm going to forget how it ended.
It's got some.
The ending is too fresh in my mind.
I know how it ended.
I won't enjoy it.
I don't. So I'm kind of excited.
I like it.
I don't know what she's promoting because she's got all these different looks like Alias. She's got a bob on. And
I think I've gone back to Alias.
Yeah.
Because you can still. That was so good.
Such a good show.
13 going on 30 was to die for.
Anyway, she admits to Allure magazine she's not good at being fake because she says.
She was good as Sydney Bristol in Alias.
She just meant in the way that everyone always thinks. She's nice, and she's not always nice. She is like anybody else, but you know she is that nice. I mean, we saw her like three times on the red carpet,
she is that
and
nice. We have to admit.
She waved and smiled at us and did not look through us. And these were three very different years. Maybe it might have even been four. She didn't walk the red carpet with Ben because. I don't know, they just didn't do that together, but she made eye contact with everybody on the red carpet.
She was lovely.
So she is nice, but she just said she can't fake it if you
she's
know.
Like you.
Yeah, I know it. I'm a bad faker.
You're a bad faker. I'm a much better faker than you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Julia.
I want you guys to watch Citadel.
Yes. I just finished Rabbit Hole.
I'm going to watch.
Casey and I finished it. You know, that was a once a weeker on, what did it drop on? Was it
Prime?
I can't remember what.
It was a network.
Not network, but it is what was fascinating about Rabbit Hole is all the ways that everybody's stuff that we're just
digital
everyday
footprint.
Digital footprint, how that's mined, but it's going forward in the future a little bit, just in the sense that I don't think it's quite that way, but they show you how, I mean, like they could find, you know, bad guys, bad people doing bad things. They could be selling. I mean, it's just blowing my mind. You do go down a rabbit hole, but Kiefer Sutherland is already like, he's CIA adjacent. He's so dark, the CIA doesn't have a name for it, and the FBI doesn't know about you because the FBI investigate crimes happening on American soil. CIA, they
all
solve
right.
and commit
Thumbs
crimes
up for it.
Over. Yeah,
all
yeah.
Right.
So it's an espionage. So
it is good.
Like, yeah, you'd like it, but it is a mind twister, like that kaleidoscope, like that kind of a puzzle box show, but espionage-like.
I'll be jumping.
You got to pay attention. You can't, you know, be doing 10 things because otherwise you won't follow the show.
Okay, Dancing Queen premieres tonight on Bravo.
Is that my DVR already?
Yes.
I'm curious if I'm going to like this.
It's blurring genre lines between the network's Real Housewives franchise and Dancing with the Stars style competition.
All right.
Introduces six women who eagerly escape their domestic and professional lives to twirl in the ballroom on the pro-am circuit.
I wonder if this is going to make me want to go join the circuit with Casey and see if
well,
we
let me tell you,
enter.
It's an expensive hobby.
It is, isn't
also
it?
Also costly when it comes to balancing family obligations with such glittery pastime.
Because the outfits and stuff and the shoes.
This being Bravo, don't expect ladies to act very ladylike when it comes to doing what it takes to win.
Well, I'm excited about this.
Hannah Gadsby, do you guys like her, the Australian comedian?
Yes.
She's funny.
I don't I just saw her once, like one special she did on HBO.
Nanette. She has kind of this alter ego, Nanette. She has a third one special coming out today.
Okay.
And if you want to laugh, I think she's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Other things that are on, the 147th Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show is on ET tonight.
I'm so bummed the writers are on strike because Trump of his news today. Late night would have been on fire. They would have been on fire. On fire.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm sure they're not happy about it either. No one wants to be on strike.
Yeah. No one wants to be. Yeah. No, right?
Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
I know it. I don't think so.
And yeah.
If you want.
Robert De Niro didn't mean to. I mean, he was just talking to Ed Canada about his new movie with, you know, Maniscalco. And the person said, oh, you have six children. And he said, no, I have seven now.
Oh, no, that's he how it's... Even,
that's yeah. how it came out, that he's... that he's... An,
whoops.
Grandpa's
whoops.
Got a...
Whoopsie-daisy.
A man yes. born during World War II is going to be 97 when this right. kid graduates.
Yes, he is. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Everyone have a great night.
Job done. Off you go.